You're listening to SBS News.
The spread of more contagious variants of COVID-19 around the world has prompted more travel restrictions. The United States, Ireland and New Zealand have joined Australia in adopting pre-flight coronavirus testing. Travellers will now have to show a negative coronavirus test within 3 days before boarding flights. And Spain and Russia have announced a 2-week extension to the ban on flights from the UK after more cases of the B117 virus variant, first identified in the UK, were recorded. WHO Director General Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus urged all nations to increase genome sequencing to track the virus mutations. He says he's particularly concerned about a new variant detected in Japan amongst 4 travellers from Brazil.
What's most critical is that we sequence the virus effectively so we know how it's changing and how to respond. For example, while diagnostics and vaccines still seem to be effective against the current virus, we may need to tweak them in the future.
Meanwhile, Greece's Prime Minister, Kyriakos Mitsotakis, has urged the EU to adopt what he calls a standardised vaccination certificate to allow people to travel in member states this year. In a letter to European Commission Chief Ursula von der Leyen, he says the document will prove that a person has been successfully vaccinated. The surge of cases in the UK has meant authorities are delaying the implementation of the second jab of the vaccine, allowing more people to get their first shot. The time between shots is being extended from 3 or 4 weeks to 12 weeks. So far, 2.3 million people in the UK have received their first vaccine, with the goal to reach 15 million people by mid-February. Molecular scientist Lawrence Young from the University of Warwick Medical School says lengthening the time between doses could undermine the effectiveness of the vaccines.
I would be very concerned because certainly looking at the data from the Pfizer-BioNTech in detail, it's quite clear that that second so-called booster dose of the vaccine, 21 days after the priming dose, is really important for getting very strong neutralizing antibody responses. So my concern is that we just don't know what a longer gap will do, particularly because these RNA vaccines are very new technology.
The government in Britain is under pressure to announce further measures, such as mandatory mask wearing outdoors, to limit the spread of COVID-19, as the country last week recorded its worst daily case numbers and death tolls since the start of the pandemic. Martin Hewitt, chairman of the UK National Police Chiefs Council, says there's a big focus on enforcement of COVID-19 rules to limit the spread of the virus.
Across the whole of the United Kingdom, we've issued almost 45,000 fixed penalty notices, and for that, I make no apology. It's very clear that we're now at the most dangerous stage of the pandemic. There is a real and present risk that our health service could be overwhelmed and people, our friends and family, could die needlessly from this virus. So we must all play our part in stopping that from happening.
Prime Minister Boris Johnson himself has come under criticism over compliance with the rules after reports he cycled 11 kilometres from his Downing Street residence to exercise. Britain is currently in its third national lockdown as English hospitals treat 55% more COVID-19 cases than during the first peak of the pandemic in April. In the United States, officials in the Trump administration have lowered the age for vaccine eligibility to 65. Younger people with certain health problems are also now eligible. Vaccines are being released faster, nearly doubling supply, to allow the second doses of the vaccine to be administered. Infectious disease specialist Dr. Graham Snyder at the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center says it's a significant policy change.
And the question follows, what's the best way to protect those who are vulnerable, those people who are in older age groups? Is it better to give them the vaccine and protect them directly, or is it better to give vaccine to the people who are taking care of them to prevent them from being exposed? That's not a question that we'll be able to answer very easily, but with this change from the federal government's approach, they're clearly prioritizing getting vaccine to those who are vulnerable.
Meanwhile, Israel's coronavirus vaccination success has come under criticism. The government has defended its deal with Pfizer to secure 10 million doses of the vaccine. That supply has allowed the country to vaccinate about 20% of its population. Israel's health ministry says the deal involves the sharing of de-identified data to Pfizer and the WHO on the age, gender, and medical history of those receiving the jab, as well as its side effects and efficacy. Israel has been criticised by human rights groups for failing to provide vaccines to Palestinians in the West Bank and Gaza, where the total number of cases is more than 145,000. Dr. Nadav Davidovich, head of the School of Public Health at Ben-Gurion University, says the lack of transparency around the deal is a problem.
I think it's a moral responsibility for Israel to get them the vaccines, and it's also our interest because we are finally in the same neighborhood and we don't want to get new cases coming from the Palestinian Authority. So altogether, the question of privacy is important, but I think it's more reflecting the question of secrecy that unfortunately it's part of these all agreements. In the long term, I'm more preoccupied about issues of social justice and looking on vulnerable groups that should get the vaccines.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, who is campaigning ahead of March's elections, says the country is on track to have most of the population vaccinated by March. Elsewhere in Europe, grim milestones have been reached. One of the hardest hit countries in Europe, Belgium, which has a population of about 11.5 million people, has averaged 2,000 cases daily over the last week, a rise of 27% over the past 7 days. COVID-19 Crisis Centre spokesman Yves Van Lathem says the coronavirus death toll has broken new records.
If we compare the number of deaths between the first and the second wave, we can see that 52% of the deaths happened during the second wave and 48% during the first wave. This made us go over a sad total of 20,000 deaths due to the COVID pandemic. So 2020 is now the year with the highest mortality rate that Belgium has ever experienced since the Spanish flu and the end of the First World War in 1918.
The impact of the high death toll is being felt in Greece's second largest city, Thessaloniki. The city has reported a higher daily number of infections than the capital Athens, despite having roughly a quarter of the size of its population. Coronavirus victims are being buried in a separate section of the cemetery, with the body to remain buried for 10 years. 69-year-old Chrysanthi Botsari recently lost her 75-year-old husband to the coronavirus. He died alone in hospital. She says it's distressing he's being buried away from his loved ones.
We saw all those graves. Back then, they were half full and they kept digging. We kept seeing empty holes where they would put people into. They didn't tell us where he would be buried. They just said he can't be in the cemeteries with the others because he has died from the coronavirus. This, to me, is unacceptable. Inhuman. All these people died alone, without help.
For the first time in over half a century, Malaysia has declared a national state of emergency, which will last until August the 1st. Under the declaration, Parliament will be suspended for 6 months. Malaysia's king made the surprise announcement upon the request of the Prime Minister, who had only the day before announced a two-week lockdown for most parts of the country. Prime Minister Muhyiddin Yassin rejected criticism that the move is the action of an unstable government trying to hold on to power.
Let me assure you that the civilian government will continue to function. The emergency proclaimed by the Yang Di-Pertuan Agong is not a military coup, and curfew will not be enforced.
The health and support measures currently in place in response to the COVID-19 pandemic in your language, visit sbs.com.au/coronavirus. Biwa Kwan, SBS News.